Shalom to all. In today's Daf Mishnah, we're going to learn Maseches Arachin, Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph, all the way through Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. Shomah Yisoyimim Shloshim Yoyim, V'shomah Hekdesh Shishim Yoyim, Machriz Mabaykov Erev. An evaluation for Yisoyimim for orphans is 30 days, that for Hekdesh is 60 days, and we announce morning and evening. Now, what's this referring to? So, Shomah Yisoyimim is referring to a father who died, leftover Yisoyimim, leftover orphans that do not know what's going on with their father's property. And then a Baal Chayv comes along, is let's say a fellow with a shtar who shows that he's owed money by the father. So, in certain situations, not all of them, but in certain ones, the Yisoyimim, these orphans, do have to pay up, and that's done in the most fair way possible in order for them to be able to get the maximum for their fields. It was done as an evaluation. As we mentioned a few words later, Machriz and Mabaykur Be'erev, there's an announcement that goes out for 30 days straight in the morning and in the evening. The Bezdin is going to be selling the property of these Yisoyimim. It's such and such property, and it produces such and such amount of grain or whatever grows in that property. And the reason why it's done in the morning and in the evening is that when a person's workers go out to their field, he could tell them, hey, go check out that field which is being sold by Beis Din. Go tell me if it's good. Does it look like a worthwhile investment? How much does it produce? What's going on with it? And then the evening as well, there's an announcement so that when these workers are coming back home, they'll be able to remember to tell the Baal Bayis, to tell their employer what they saw and how the field was. And then at the end of the 30 days, there's an auction, and then it's going to be sold to the highest bidder, where they assume getting the most for their fields, and they could pay off their father's debt. And it's the same thing with Hekdesh. If a person was Makdish their property, if they donated their property to the Beis HaMikdash, so the same thing would be in order to be able to redeem it from Hekdesh. The mission continues something similar. Hamakdish Nechasa, V'haysa Olav Ksubas Isha. Let's say a person was Makdish all of his Nechasim. He donated all of his property to the Beis HaMikdash, and the problem is that he has a Ksubas Isha. Every man, when he gets married, has a Ksuba, which is a legal document that states that if he dies or divorces her, she can come collect a certain amount of money from him. Now, the challenge is as follows. He doesn't have any money anymore because he was Makdish all of it. Now, the woman is allowed to take her Ksuba. She could go to Hekdesh and collect her money, but it's her money and it's not her husband's anymore. So Rabbi Lezer says, Kishir Gershana, when he divorces his wife, Yadir Hana, he has to make a neder Hana, which means he has to make a public neder, a public vow that he's never going to get benefit from her ever again. And that prevents the following situation. We're afraid that since this fellow doesn't have any money anymore because he was Makdish all of it to the Beis HaMikdash, that he's going to pull some sort of trick, a kanunya, a harama, a little bit of something sly and maybe slightly dishonest. He's going to divorce his wife. She's going to now collect her Ksuba from Hekdesh, and then he's going to remarry her, and now he could take this property back, so at least he has some money. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says, in order to prevent this, when he divorces her, he has to make a neder that he's never going to get benefit from her ever again, and that means that even after she collects her Ksuba, he's not going to be able to remarry her. Now, Rabbi Shua says, Ein Tzarich, that's not necessary at all, and that's because Rabbi Shua holds that when a person is Makdish his Nechasim, he could be shoyel on that. He can go to a Chacham and say, I never really intended to be Makdish all my property, and the Chacham's going to ask him a number of questions, and if everything checks out, then the Chacham could be matir his neder. He could take away that neder, and then it turns out the person's properties are not donated to the Beis HaMikdash anyway. So he doesn't have any sort of reason to pull a trick by divorcing his wife and then remarrying her once he collects her ksuba, and that's what Yeshua says, this is not a necessity. If he does divorce her, and he never was shoyel on his neder, he never had it taken away, he doesn't have to be matir hana, because we don't have to be afraid that he's doing anything dishonest here. The mission continues, by similarly, also if a person was a guarantor for a woman for her ksuba. For example, Reuven's marrying Rachel, and he has to write a ksuba that he's going to give this amount of money to his wife if he divorces her, but the problem is, Reuven is so poor, he can't rub two pennies together, so he's never going to be able to pay the ksuba. Therefore, Shimon, Reuven's friend, is the guarantor for the ksuba, and he says, don't worry, if you divorce her or die, I'll pay it up. And Vahya Baal Magarsha, her husband's divorcing her, Reuven's divorcing his wife Rachel, and that means that now Shimon has to pay up. So Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us, Yadir Hana, Reuven has to make this neder Hana that he's never going to benefit from his wife ever again, which means he's not allowed to remarry her, and that's because Shem Yasa Kanunya on the Chasav Shel Zev Yachzer Zishtai. Maybe he's just doing a trick. He's just trying to get the property of his friend Shimon. Maybe they're not such good friends, and then he's just going to remarry his wife once she collects her ksuba from Shimon. And or prevent this, Rav Shimon Gamliel says this fellow Reuven has to make a neder Hana that he's not going to benefit from his wife, which once again means he's not going to remarry her after he divorces her. And she tells us Hamakdish Nechasav, a person was Makdish all his Nechasim, all of his properties he donated to the Beis HaMikdash, but v'haysa olav ksubas ishu b'al chayv, he already previously owed the ksuba to his wife, or he owed money to somebody who he borrowed from, meaning he had already divorced his wife, he owes her the money, and then instead of paying her, he's makdish olav his nechasim, or he just owed somebody money, and instead of paying him, he was makdish olav his nechasim. So in ishi yechayel ligvas ksubasim in a hekdesh, v'loy b'al chayv is chayvai, neither the woman or the person who's owed the money, they're not allowed to go directly to hekdesh to collect their money, al rather, ha'payde, payde al-manas li'tein l'ishi ksubasim b'al chayv is chayvai, the one who redeems, meaning the person himself himself, who is makdish as nechasim, he has to go to Hekdish and redeem what he was makdish in order to pay his wife or his bal chayv. Now the chiddush over here is, even though it's not really Hekdish, it's not even able to become kadosh, because since it's already designated to be paid to his wife or to his bal chayv, so it doesn't become Hekdish in the first place. However, people don't necessarily know that, so if they see that he made his things Hekdish and then he's just going and taking it back and giving it to somebody else, they're going to think that you could just take something back from Hekdish without officially redeeming it. So that's why he has to go through the whole process of officially redeeming it from Hekdish. He does it for a very small amount of money, very nominal, as we're going to see in a moment in the Mishnah, but he still has to go through this official process of redeeming it, and then he could give it either to his wife or to his bal chayv. And as the Mishnah continues saying, Hekdish tishim monet, let's say he was makdish 90 monet, but he owes 100 monet, bal chayv 100 monet, maisav a dinner, he just adds on a dinner, and then he redeems his nechasim in order to give him to his wife for a ksuba, or to his bal chayv for the debt that he owes him. And on to Mishnah Gimel, afal pisha amru, even though they said, this is a Mishnah Vav of the previous parak, chayav erachin mashkin son, that somebody who owes an erach to the Mikdash, the gizbar, the treasurer, is going to take a mashkin from him, he's going to come take a collateral from the person until they pay up. Still, we're not going to take everything from him. Nosen loy mezon shloshim yoyim, we leave the fellow over enough food for 30 days, uksos shnemasar chodesh, enough clothing for 12 months, umitim utsas, and a set bed, visandalin, and shoes, utfilin, and his tfilin. And this is all based off of Joshua from a pasuk that tells us that even though he's very poor and he doesn't have any money, we're still going to be forcing him to pay a certain amount of money. Nonetheless, we do leave these basic things for him. However, says the Mishnah, loy avol loy le'ishtav le'banov, we're only going to leave these things for him, but not for his wife and children, because they're not included in the drasha and the pasuk. Also, umon, if he was a craftsman, we leave him two of his tools of his craft from every single type of tool that he needs. And here the Mishnah gives an example, charash, if he's a carpenter, so we leave him over two planes and two saws, because these are the tools that are basic to his trade. Now Rabbi Blazer says, im hay ikar, let's say he was a farmer, they're going to allow him to keep his semed, which is his pair of oxen for plowing, and chamar, if he's a donkey driver, they leave him his donkey so that he could still continue doing his work. Now the previous mission we had said that when a person owes money to the Beis HaMikdash, he has an erech, for example, and the gizbar is going to come to his house to take a mashka, and he's going to take a collateral to ensure collection of that debt, the gizbar still has to leave him something over. He has to leave some basics, and he has to leave over basic tools of the trade as well. This is Mishnah Dalet, hayu min echan rube u min echan muat. Let's say this fellow has a lot of one tool and a few of the other tool. In Eirim Loi, we don't tell him, limkar min am rube v'lika chloi min am muat. He should sell some of the tools that he has, which is really more than necessary. Use that money to buy more of the tools that he has a few of. Ela naisan l'shnei min min am rube. We just leave him over two tools of the ones that he has a lot of. So let's say he's a painter. We're going to leave him over two of his many paintbrushes that he has. V'chol shesh l'min am muat, and whatever he has over from the few. So let's say he only has one trowel or one spachtel and he doesn't have multiple ones, we're not going to tell him to sell some of his extra paintbrushes to buy himself two spachtels. We're just going to leave him that one spachtel that he has, and that's it. Lastly, says the Mishnah, Hamakdish has nechasov. If a person is makdish all of his nechasim, ma'olai his tefilov, we evaluate how much his tefillin are, and he has to be paid to them, because actually his tefillin are included in this hektish of his, so he would not have to redeem them from hektish in order to continue putting them on. And on to Mishnah, hey, echad makdish has nechasov, vechad amarchas atzmai, whether a person is makdish all of his nechasim to Beis HaMikdash, or he's marich himself, and so now he has to pay a certain amount of money. Ein loy, the gizbar, the treasurer of hektish, when he's coming to take a mashkain for this payment, he's not allowed to take the following. Levik says eshtai, not in this fellow's wife's clothing. Levik says bonav, not this fellow's children's clothing. Vlebit sefesh etzvon lishmon, not any colorful cloth that he dyed for them. Vlebit sandalim chadashim shalakachon lishmon, not any brand new shoes that he bought for them. And that's because this is considered theirs, and it's not his, and the gizbar is only allowed to take that which is his. Now here's another thing about hektish. Aval pisha amru, even though it's well known, even though they say that avadim nukar muksusan l'shavach, that avadim, slaves, they're sold in their clothing at a much higher value. For example, shimti lakach loik sus b'shleshim dinar, if you would buy him a really nice expensive garment or suit for 30 dinar, mashbiachu mane, now he can be sold for a money in the marketplace because he has his very expensive clothing. And v'chein para, also with a cow, imam tinam oisol ha'itlas, if they wait for the day of the shuk, they wait for the day of the market, mashbachas he, it's way more valuable and can be sold for much more than if it's not the market day. And v'chein margalias, also a pearl, imalan oisol ha'krach, if it's brought to the big city, mashbachas he, it could fetch a way higher sum of money than if you sell it in a little village. Still, in lehektish el makom v'shaitoi, hektish only has its place in time, which means that when someone's makdish something, the gizbar would have to sell it right away, even though if he would wait a little bit, or if he would bring it to the big city, or if he would get an expensive piece of clothing and put it on the eved, he'd be able to get more money for hektish. It's not how it works. He has to sell it right away, and whatever price he gets for it, that money goes to hektish. Now, this practice discusses dinim of one who's makdish their stei achuzah. Let's explain. When the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua, it was divided among the Shvatim, with each head of a family receiving a plot of land. This is called their achuza, inheritance. And it's clear from the Torah that this is meant to remain in the family. Therefore, if one sold their shtei achuza, it automatically comes back to them by the Yovel year, which is year number 50 of the cycle. And all the dinim of selling a shtei achuza are discussed in the ninth parak. Now, as an aside, if one bought such a field, if he bought a shtei achuza, it's called a shtei mikna. Now, what about being makdish, donating a shtei achuza to the Beis HaMikdash? So, the Torah tells us that if one's makdish or shtei achuza, it could be redeemed from hektish, not for its value, meaning not for the market value, rather by a set price. As the pasuk says, v'haya erkcha lefi zaroi, and its value according to its planting, zera chaymer sa'irim b'chamishim shekel kasef, the area of land in which one can plant a chaymer of barley, which is a particular measurement, it's also known as a base car, that's redeemed for 50 silver shkalim. And as we're going to see, this is only at the beginning of the Yovel year, year one, whereas if he redeems it later on, it's going to be for slightly less than 50, and as Yovel approaches, the Dimei Pidyon, this redemption money, lessens. And there are many other dinim that we're going to be learning about as well. Now, another important nekuda is what happens if he does not redeem it? And the answer is, it goes to the Kaihanim, and they get to keep this field, and it's lost to him forever. So the Mishnah tells us, Ein makdish lefnei Yovel pachas mishtei shanim. One can't be makdish, their shtei achuza, before Yovel, less than 2 years. It's not that they can't, it's just that they shouldn't, and that's because they're going to have to redeem it for its full value. The pidyon doesn't start lessening until after year two. And also, v'loy goyalin la'achar Yovel pachas mishana, they can't redeem it after Yovel within less than a year. So it's still within the first year of Yovel. They can't redeem it. In other words, that when they do redeem it, we're not going to subtract any of the money, even though a few months have passed. And why is that? Because ein mechashvin chadashim lehektish, we don't make a cheshbin of months for hektish. Aval hektish mechashv chadashim, but hektish itself does make a cheshbin of months. Namely, as we had just learned, we're always going to make a cheshbin of months for the benefit of hektish. So if it's right at the beginning of the Yovel cycle, and he was just makdish his shtei achuza a few months ago, and now he wants to redeem it, he can't come to Hektish and say, look, a few months passed, I want to have a little bit of money taken off the Dimei Pidyon. He has to redeem it for its full value. And by that same token, let's say it's in the middle of the Yovel cycle and a few months of the year passed. He also can't say, well, a few months into this year passed, so I shouldn't have to redeem it for its full value that this year is. No, it's still considered the beginning of the year. And so here we discuss more of the details. Hamakdish is today who b'shas ha-Yovel. A person's makdish their field at the time of Yovel doesn't mean during the Yovel year itself. It means when Yovel is Noyheg, and this is a whole nother discussion which we're not going to be getting into now, but the general idea is that Yovel is only Noyeg when all, or at least the majority of Yidin, are in Eretz Yisrael. And so when Yovel is Noyeg, and he's Makdish his Shtei Achuza, and now he wants to redeem it, Noisin Bezera Chomer Sa'irim, Chamishim Shekel Kasef, as we said in the introduction to the Mishnah, for every area of land that he could plant a Chomer worth of barley, as we had said it's called a base car, he has to pay 50 silver shkalim. Now, how do we cheshbin this area? So Hayusham Nekaima Mukamasara, let's say there are deep grooves or deep clefts inside the ground that are 10 tfachim deep, or Sloim Gvaimasar tfachim, rocks that are 10 tfachim high, Einim Dadim Ima, they're not measured along with the land itself. That's because they're considered separate sections, they're not considered part of the field, and so we're not going to count them as part of the cheshbin of a base car. However, Pachas Mikan, if it's anything less than this, if the grooves in the ground are less than 10 tfachim deep, or the rocks are less than 10 tfachim high, Einim Dadim Ima, then they are measured as part of the land. Next in, Hegdisha Shtaim Ashal Shanam Lefnei Yovel, if he was Makdish the field 2 or 3 years before Yovel, so nice and selu pundion l'shana, he pays a sell and a pundion per year. As we mentioned before, the more years of the Yovel cycle that pass, the less his Dimei Pidyon is going to be, and therefore, since the Pidyon at the beginning of the Yovel is 50 Slayim, and that's for the remaining 49 years of that Yovel cycle, so that means that each year is valued at a sella plus a little bit, and so the Mishnah just told us, how much is that little bit? It's a sella and a pundion. So when it's 2 or 3 years before Yovel, and he finally came up with the money to redeem his Shtei Achuza, so he's going to pay 2 or 3 Slayim plus 2 or 3 pundions. Now let's say Im Amar, the fellow says, Hareini Noisin Dvar Shana B'Shana, I want to pay per year. This is what we call in English a payment plan. I don't want to pay all the money up front. So he'd be redeeming the field for 10 slime and 10 pundyonis, and he simply doesn't have all of it. He just wants to be able to come every single year and pay a sell and a pundyon. Ancient Shemile, we don't listen to him, says the Mishnah, Ela Noisin Eskulei Ka'echad, he has to pay it all up in one shot. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, Echad Abaylim V'Echad Kol Adam. This concept of pidyon, to be able to redeem a Shtei Achuza, applies to either the owner or to anybody. Any person could walk up to Hektish and ask them if they have any Shtei Achuzas that somebody was Makdish, and if the answer is yes, they can redeem that Shtei Achuza. It doesn't have to be the owner. So Ma'bein Bailam, Labein Kol Adam, what's the difference between if the owner redeems his own Shtei Achuza, or if a random person redeems a random Shtei Achuza that somebody was Makdish? The answer is, El Shabalam Noisim Chaymesh V'Chol Adam Einu Noisim Chaymesh. When the owner redeems his own Shtei Achuza that he was Makdish, he has to add on an extra fifth to the entire payment. Whereas a regular person who's being paida or random stei achuza, he doesn't have to add on a fifth. And we continue discussing a person who is makdish their stei achuza and the redemption process. So Mishnah Gimel tells us hegdisha uga'ala, if a person was makdish their stei achuza and then they subsequently redeemed it, ein yotzim yada b'yovel, it does not leave his hand yovel time. As we mentioned in the beginning of the parak, if a person fails to redeem their stei achuza, so it's lost from them forever. However, if they did redeem it, so it doesn't leave them by yovel, since they redeemed it, it just is by them, so they get to keep it. Now let's say ga'ala b'noi, this fellow's son redeemed the field that his father was makdesh, yaitzel avin b'yovel, so then it goes back to the father, yovel time. Now let's say ga'ala acher, oi echemen akroivim, a random person redeemed this field, or one of the fellow's relatives redeemed it, not his son, but a relative, and uga'ala miyadoi, the fellow, the original owner of the field, the guy who stachuz it is, he redeemed it, which basically means he just purchased it from the one who redeemed it from hektish. So here as well, einu yotzim yada b'yovel, it doesn't leave him yovel time. What about the following situation? Ga'ala echem na koyhanim, a koyhin redeemed the field, varehi tachas yadai, and it's by him, it's in his possession, and now it's the yovel year. Lo yoimar, the koyhin's not able to say, hoyel v'hi yotzim l'koyhanim b'yovel, since we know a stei achuza that was not redeemed by yovel time goes to the koyhanim at yovel, and varehi tachas yadi, it's by me, I was the one that had redeemed it, and now it's yovel year, harehi shali, so it's mine, I don't have to split it with my brothers the koyhanim. He can't say that. It goes to all of his brothers of Kehanim, all the ones who it's their mishmar, it's their time to serve in the Beis HaMikdash during that Yovel year, so he would have to give it back to them, and then it gets distributed evenly among them. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, continue to discuss this, Higia Yovel v'lo nigala. Let's say Yovel came and it wasn't redeemed. In the previous Mishnah, we discussed many cases where the person himself, or his son, or someone random redeemed it, but now we're talking about somebody who's Makdash or Steachuza, it's Yovel now, and it wasn't redeemed by anybody. What happens? So we have a big machlokes. HaKehanim echasam l'soicha, v'noisnim as dameha, div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds that the Kehanim go into it, meaning the Kehanim have the rights to the stei achuza. However, they have to pay for it. Reb Yehuda, based off of Joshua Pasuk, learns that a stei achuza has to be redeemed in order to go to the Kehanim. So if somebody random redeemed it, since its redemption money was paid, when it's Yovel, it automatically goes to the Kehanim for free. But if no one had redeemed it, you're right, the Kehanim do have access to this field, but they would still have to pay its redemption value. They'd have to pay for its pidyon, and only then they can keep it. Now, Reb Shimon says, no, nechnasim avoloi noisnim. They go into the field and they don't have to pay anything. Reb Shimon learns based off of a different drasha that once it's Yovel year, the Kehanim get it for free, they don't have to pay a penny. Now, Reb Lezer says, oloi nechnasim avoloi noisnim. They don't get to go into the field and they also don't have to pay anything. Ela nikra stei retushim. It's called an abandoned field and no one gets it at all. Ana Yovel Asheni. They have to wait till the next Yovel. They have to wait another 50 years and then they see what happens. Higia Yovel Asheni v'lo nigala. Let's say the next 50 years went by and still no one redeemed this field. Nikris retushe retushin. It's called abandoned of abandoned. Ad yovel shlishi until the third yovel. And la'olam ena kam rechasam soicha ad shigalena acher. The kahanim are never able to go into this field until somebody else redeems it. And Rabbi Lezer learns this based off of a different drasha that the only time the kahanim get a stei achuza is if somebody else random redeemed it and it was by that person yovel time, then it automatically goes to the kahanim. But if nobody had redeemed it, the kahanim have no rights to redeem it themselves. They don't get it for free and they can't give any money for it, and it just stays in that state until somebody redeems it. And we keep discussing somebody being makdish their stei achuza, and here we have an interesting case. The Mishnah tells us, halkech sadeh me'aviv, a person buys a field from his father and then mase aviv, his father died, v'achach hekdisha, then he was makdish it, so I reik his stei achuza, it's like a regular stei achuza, even though he had bought it after his father died, now it's considered yarshing it, it's like he's inheriting it, it's a classic stei achuza, so when he's makdish this stei achuza of his, it has all the regular dinim of a stei achuza. However, what about the following? Hegdisha v'achakach meis aviv. He had bought the field from his father, then he was makdashid, and only then his father died. So I reik his stei mikno to Reb Meir. Reb Meir says like a stei mikno, which we had mentioned very briefly previously, has different dinim than a stei achuza. A stei mikno is just a field that you bought off of somebody, and if you're makdash that, when Yovel comes, it does not go to the kehanim. And according to Reb Meir, this is considered a regular stei mikno. He had bought it from his father, then he was makdashid, and only afterwards his father died. However, Reb Yehud, Reb Shimon Imrim, they say kestei achuza. It's like a regular stei achuza. And why is that? Shnemar, because the pasuk tells us, ve'im es stei miknasai asher loy mestei achuzasai. If it's a stei mikno, which is not a stei achuza, what do we learn from here? Sada she'ina re'uya liya stei achuzasai. The dinim that this pasuk is referring to is talking about a field that is not able to be a stei achuza. It's just talking about a regular field that was bought from a random person. Yoytze zu, but excludes this field that we just mentioned, she'i re'uya liya stei achuza. It could be a stei achuza because it was his father's field. Yeah, you're right. He bought it off of his father, so technically on paper, maybe it's a stei mikna, but since it could would be a stay achuza if he wouldn't have bought it from his father, then he would have just inherited it like regular, so it has the regular dinim of a stay achuza. And here the Mishnah points out the big difference. Stay mikna ain't yetzlo kan beyavel. A stay mikna, a regular field that a person bought off of somebody random that he subsequently makdesh, even if it wasn't redeemed, it does not go to the kohen miyavel time. She'ain adam makdesh davar she'ain shaloi, because a person can't be makdesh something that's not really his. Now we have another din, kohen levim makdishim le'olam, kohen levim, that they own a field, they could be makdesh that forever. Even if it's an actual yovel year, they're able to be makdesh it, as opposed to a regular Yisrael, he's not able to be makdesh a stei achuza during a yovel year. And also the goyim le'olam, they could always redeem their field, bein lefnei yovel, bein la'achar yovel, whether it's before yovel or after yovel, as opposed to a regular Yisrael, after yovel, he loses his chance to redeem his field. Now the parakhas, Mishnah Aleph, continue to discuss dinim of a stei achuza, hamakdesh shesedeu b'shasha ino yovel, if a person's makdesh his field at a time when yovel is not noyeg. We had mentioned in the beginning of the previous parak that when a person's makdesh their stei achuza at a time when there is yovel, then for our purposes, we're just going to say that's when the majority of Yidden are living in Eretz Yisrael, so then when he wants to redeem it, it's based off of a set price, and that's per a certain amount that barley is able to be planted in. He redeems it for 50 silver shkalim. But what about during a time when yovel is not noyeg? So here, it just works off regular pidyon, it's redeemed for the value that somebody wants to pay for it. So Imrim Loy, the gizbar of Hektish, the treasurer of Hektish, tells the fellow himself who is Maktashit, Psach HaTor Rishon, you start first, you make the opening bid. Why did they offer it to him first and then would just put it on open market? That's because Shabailim Noisim Chaimesh, due to the fact that the owner has to pay an added fifth, V'chol Adam Eino Noisim Chaimesh, whereas a random person who's redeeming it doesn't have to give a fifth. So for example, if the person says, I'm going to give $40 for the field, he actually has to pay 50 because that's an added fifth to the field, as opposed to if somebody else offers 40, he doesn't have to add on the extra fifth. And so it turns out that when the owner redeems his own field, Hektish is making more money. That's why they give him the opportunity to redeem his field first, because they're going to be making more money. Now we're going to have machlokes about this. There's a person who was makdish's field because of how terrible it was. It was such a poor quality piece of land. He just wanted to get rid of it, so he was makdish it. And Amrulai, so the Gizbarim of Hektish told him, you start with the opening bid. How much would you redeem your field for? And Omar, what did he say? Hare hi shali b'isser. It's worth an isser to me, which is a tiny little coin that's worth 8 prutas. That's basically saying, I'll give a dime for this field. And he's obviously trying to show how much the field is so not worthwhile for him. Omar B'yis argues and says, Loimar ze ela b'kebeitza. This really had said, I'll redeem it for an egg. That's how much it's worth to me. And the reason why that would be okay is she'hektish nifne b'kesef v'shav v'kesef. Hektish could be redeemed for either money or something that's worth money. And an egg is worth money, so technically it could be redeemed for just an egg. Now Omar Loi, the gizmer of Hektish, told this fellow, Higiyascha, it's come to you. That's great. That's the winning bid. Wonderful. You've just won your field back. Nimtza mafsed iser v'sadeh ulefanov. Turns out that this fellow lost out on an iser. He lost out on the money he has to pay for his field, and now his field is in front of him. He didn't accomplish what he wanted to. He wanted to get rid of his field, and look at that. It's back at him, and not only that, he also had to take some money out of his pocket and pay for it. Now, what's a machlekes Tana Kama Rav Yosi? This revolves around, is there a minimum that one is able to redeem their field for? As we had just mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, that when a person redeems his own field from Hektish, he has to add on a fifth. And according to Tana Kama, that fifth has to be worth at least a pruta. And therefore, the minimum the bid could be is 4 prutas. And that way the chaimesh, the added fifth, would be 1 pruta for a total of 5. That's why the Tana Kama said that the fellow offered an isser. An isser is 8 prutas, and so the chaimesh is definitely more than a pruta. Now Rabbi Yossi argues that the chaimesh doesn't have to be worth a pruta as long as the redemption value offered itself is worth a pruta. So even the chaimesh, the fifth is not going to be a pruta, that's fine. And that's why Rabbi Yossi said that the fellow offered an egg. Now an egg itself is worth a pruta, but the chaimesh of an egg is not worth a pruta. So that's what the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Tana Kama is. Bottom line is, according to both of them, the fellow lost out because at the end of the day, he was left with his field and is missing some money or an egg. We're going to stop for a day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Beis. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.